Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
We're all grappling with the numerous sexual harassment cases that came into light this year. The Me Too movement encouraged those who experienced sexual harassment or assault to come forward and speak out against their aggressors. Here in Massachusetts, we've witnessed our own reckoning. Women across organizations have described toxic work environments that led to inappropriate behavior. And Radio Boston host Meghna Chakrabarty has been following some of their stories. She joins us now. Hi, Meghna.
Hi there, Jack.
So the sexual assault cases against Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein really set fire to the Me Too movement back in October. We have, of course, felt reverberations of that here.
Yes, let's name a few of them. The Boston Globe, Berklee College of Music, Fidelity, the Massachusetts State Legislature, here at WBUR as well. Again, that's just to name a few. So maybe if it's not a movement, but at least a long overdue acknowledgement, Jack, of something millions of women and many men as well have known and felt for some time.
And this was the second coming of the Me Too movement, we should note. The original one started 10 years ago by a woman named Tarana Burke, who created it for women of color to speak out against sexual harassment.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm not afraid to say that perhaps we should have listened to those women more carefully before. I don't think it's an accident that the Me Too movement this time around feels bigger because so many white women are speaking out. Let's just say that. And that's not to diminish their impact or what has happened to them, but to acknowledge another lesson here, Jack, that I think we as a culture and a society ought to listen to minority groups more when they feel compelled to speak out.
So let's talk about what's happened on Beacon Hill. You spoke with a woman who says she's been sexually harassed multiple times by legislators.
Yeah, a female lobbyist here. And I should give a strong hat tip to Yvonne Abraham of the Boston Globe, who first reported all of these stories about sexual harassment on Beacon Hill. Another lesson of the Me Too movement, Jack, is that great and thorough journalism still really matters. Mm-hmm. Now, about this lobbyist whom we spoke to, she says she's been harassed three times, touched inappropriately. She says it fits into what other women told the Boston Globe, and that these allegations disturbingly escalate up to women say they've been chased around tables by legislators, or legislators openly watching pornography on their cell phones in the statehouse chamber. Now, the woman we spoke to says all of this amounts to what she sees as one disturbing truth about the statehouse culture.
I think there's a strong culture in the statehouse around sexism. Very powerful men and very vulnerable young women who are kind of trying to climb a ladder.
And Jack, this woman we spoke to says about those vulnerable women and some men, they really have no trustworthy or independent support to turn to.
Perhaps the biggest story from Beacon Hill involved the husband of the then Senate President Stan Rosenberg, Brian Hefner, accused of sexually harassing or assaulting four men. Here's Rosenberg addressing those allegations.
This has been the most difficult time in my political life and in my personal life. I've repeatedly made clear that Brian was to have no influence on what happens in the Senate.
So, Meghna, Rosenberg decided to step down during the investigation into Hefner's behavior. What exactly are officials trying to answer now?
Well, there's a Senate inquiry underway to see if Rosenberg, quote, violated the rules of the Senate in connection to the allegations against his spouse. The Senate Ethics Committee has hired an independent law firm to conduct that investigation. Jack, we should also say that the FBI has begun to ask some questions about whether Brian Hefner tried to peddle his influence with Rosenberg and if he offered political favors in exchange for sexual ones from his alleged victims. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that there's a formal federal investigation underway, but the FBI is asking some questions.
So let's pivot to some other organizations beyond Beacon Hill, others dealing with sexual harassment claims of their own.
Yes, at finance giant Fidelity, CEO Abigail Johnson there pushed out some very high-profile fund managers after allegations of sexual harassment. And here's my favorite part about how Abigail Johnson's confronting this, Jack. She's the CEO of Fidelity. She moved her office to the same floor where these problematic trading groups were located so that she's literally keeping a close eye on them. Now, full disclosure, we should note that there is, of course, an investigation going on right now here at WBUR and Boston University into allegations against Tom Ashbrook. That is happening. And at the Boston Globe, they're facing scrutiny for alleged actions by one of their former reporters. At the Berklee College of Music, students there accuse the school of having a rampant culture of tolerance around sexual harassment. Again, after the Boston Globe reported some cases there, the president of Berklee said in the past 13 years, they've let go of 11 faculty members for sexual misconduct.
So, Meghna, what is actually changing as a result of all this? How is this conversation going to go forward in the next year and then beyond that?
Well, here's what I think we're seeing, Jack. First and foremost, people are taking these allegations seriously. That in and of itself is a major change from years and decades past. There's attention being paid. There are conversations happening in, I would say, most workplaces now, or many workplaces across Massachusetts. There's awareness. And I spoke with Berkeley President Roger Brown about this, and he said that he feels that's the most important takeaway from this moment, that there's an opportunity in this crisis to really change underlying cultures in every organization. And here's what he said.
Look, this is the full catastrophe we're in the middle of right now. What do we do to take advantage of the fact that we have everyone's attention? Rather than adjudicate cases and investigate and terminate people, how do we stop the behavior from happening in the first place?
But Jack, just maybe a note of realism here, because we all know that changing cultures is really hard, mm-hmm. right? And people are beginning to worry about maybe will there be a long-term backlash against women? Are women going to be cut out of positions of power or not be invited to important meetings out of fear of accusations? We heard Matt Damon just recently say that maybe we should also not be painting all forms of sexual harassment as the same. Not everyone's Harvey Weinstein. All important points. But in the long run, you know, I really feel like a big long-term solution, and we'll see if we get there, is hiring more women, putting more women in positions of power and influence, creating all those independent structures so that people have a place to go when they feel that they've been harmed. So that's all in the future, Jack. I'd say the only thing I'm confident about right now is that we're only at the beginning.
WBUR's Meghna Chakrabarty talking about the Me Too movement of 2017 and looking ahead to 2018. Meghna, thanks.
You're welcome, Jack.